Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss, so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big, open welcome to you. Welcome to the show today. This is episode 14, which is the second installment of podcast you heard 2 days ago, episode 12, Choosing a Partner. And we delve into that a good bit, but I wanted to talk about it a little bit more because there were other things that I thought were really worth mentioning when you're thinking about making a partnership and committing to a partner for life. That's a big deal, and it's important, and it affects the children you choose to have with that person. It affects your feelings about yourself and your life and how successful you feel at your life when you get to the end of it. So it's worth really thinking about this topic a lot. So in the previous show where I talked about this, we mentioned a couple things. So one of the variables was thinking about how happy he is on his own. Not when he's not with you necessarily, but how happy he is just as a person. Like if he was in a vacuum, he wasn't, or a vacuum without you, where you weren't there and he never met you, would he still be a content, happy person? Or is there always something that seems to be missing from his life? Is he chasing something that you don't really know what it is? Maybe neither does he. And it affects his joy and his happiness and his excitement about life. That's not really a good thing. So think about the person you love, the man you love's general temperament and excitement about life. Hopefully, he has a joy and an awe about the world, because that's a really important thing when you're looking for a partner. Also, another thing that we talked about was looking at how he treats his family and how he values family connections, and checking to see if he perhaps values you in that same way, as a family member equal to his birth family. And then leading into that, that's going to tell you a little bit about his willingness to share a life with you. So there's a couple conversations you can have related to this, you know, do you want to live with me? Do you love me? You know, what are our future plans? Things like that. It's really good to assess if he actually wants to share a life with you. Because women, I think, are really good at making up what they want to happen in a relationship. I know I do that because we have so many thoughts and emotions and feelings rolling through our minds and hopes and dreams about the person that we have come to love, or we're beginning to love, or we foresee just great things happening with, that it's really easy to create a sub-reality that is, you know, based in reality, but it's not fully the way things are. We're really good at filling in the blanks so that our life with the person that we love goes smoothly. And I think people are good at that. It's not exactly the same thing as making excuses for someone, but just imagining a love connection. If you love him, of course you're going to imagine a love connection, you know, coming from him, because you feel so connected with him. But you need to really make sure that you're really in the moment and you're really in touch with what's really going on. So it's really important to assess that, talk to him, look at what his priorities are when it comes to you and your life with him, and how important are you to him on the grand scheme of things. This is something that I think is a really big deal, especially growing up in the family I grew up in. There was always discussion of, my dad would always say things like, your mom and you are my two most important things in the world. You know, you mess with my girls, you mess with me, of course. Everyone that has someone they love thinks that way. You mess with this person, you mess with me. But I think just the fact that my dad would say that a lot, and that it became clear to me that when you pick a partner, I kind of said this to myself without, you know, consciously saying it. I was realizing, hey, when I pick a partner in the future, they need to really consider me as a big priority in their life, as one of the big things that makes and breaks their happiness in life. And this is separate from being a happy person without me or without you, because that has to do with their general excitement about life, that maybe if you weren't around, they would feel good. If they had never met you, you know, they would feel good. But considering the concept of losing you, or have just not, or just not being around you for a while, missing out on you and what you have to offer, that should be something that's upsetting to them. Now, a lot of couples get used to the long-distance relationship thing because they have to, and I understand that. And that's an amazing thing, because Jason and I did that for a while, and it was really not that fun. I mean, it was fun because we got to see each other, but I'm definitely going to do an episode, a podcast in the future, talking about the ups and downs of having a long-distance relationship and ways to keep it fresh and to remind yourself of how special the other person is to you. But talking about you being a priority in this person's life, you know, if you're in a long-distance relationship, that's a different story, and that doesn't mean you're not a priority in each other's lives. But in the case where you know, are near each other, you live in the same town, or you live in the same house, there should totally be a sense of improvement to his day when you see him and he sees you, and there should be a sense of commitment to you guys as a team and how exciting it is that you are together and that you work together, and that life just wouldn't be the same without your team, without your partnership. It just wouldn't be as colorful, as special, as great. I spent one day, I think a few weeks ago, out of the house for the whole day. I was out of the house because I was working, and then I was also seeing, I think, visiting a friend in another town, so it was a really, really long day. And Jason, I think, had the day off, and I came home, and we'd had, you know, just a little bit of conversation about our day and stuff like that. And we were talking about what he had done and the kind of day he'd had and stuff like that. And I was like, sounds like you had a really great day. You had a lot of stuff done. He was like, yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of stuff done. I just, you know, it wasn't all that fun, you know, because you weren't around. Even though sometimes we're around each other, we don't even really talk too much. We are just doing separate things. But he was like, it wasn't that fun. He was like, my life would be really boring without you. I was like, thanks. My life would be really boring without you. And it's not that he didn't have a good day. It's not that he was like, boo-hoo, I'm so lonely. It was just that he was reminded, because we're generally around each other a lot, he was just reminded of how much more fun it is to be in a partnership. And that's a really great thing to hear someone say to you, and it's a really great thing to know that they feel about you. Because every time that is said, it completely reiterates the fact that your partnership to him is such a priority that he would do nothing to mess it up. Nothing intentionally to mess it up at all. Another thing that I talked about in the last episode was, if you're interested in having children with this partner that you love, you need to think about just what kind of a father he might be. You can look at his own father, his ideas of family, maybe the way he treats your pets, a couple things I mentioned in the past episode, about what sort of a father he's going to be. Because just because you love someone doesn't necessarily mean that he's the best match for you or the best match for your children in the future. If he is a, you know, I don't know, I'm giving an extreme example, but if he's a troubled artist type who goes in and out of, you know, drinking a lot or that kind of thing, and has maybe some sort of insomnia issues because he stays up late working on his art and his crafts and stuff, he might be a wonderful man and you love him, but if you think that the way he is so related to his personality and he'll always kind of be like that, you have to think about if that's going to really be the kind of father you want for your children. It doesn't mean he's any less of a man or the person that you love, but you have to think about that. Is that going to be really hard on you and having children and on your children? Or is that going to be something that can totally be meshed into your life, which many quirks about people totally can. But you just have to be aware of all of these things, because it's your life. It's such a big deal. It's so important. And if you're making a commitment to someone, pick someone who's fantastic, who's just fantastic in every way. Everybody has weird, annoying things about them, of course, but so fantastic that you just sit around sometimes thinking, man, I got so lucky. This person's so fantastic. And that, you know, they sit around thinking that way about you too, because you both deserve that. So another really important thing in choosing a partner who nurtures you and cares about you in the right kind of way is to think about how supportive he is of you, of your everyday life that's just, you know, the monotonous tasks of living, but then also how supportive is he of your ideas and your beliefs and desires and things that give you joy in the world. Like, I know someone, one of my coworkers, she is so into Disney movies. It's hilarious to me. She's so into Disney movies, and she's, like, really into this one Disney movie, Frozen, that, like, all the kids are into right now. It's, like, a big deal. I saw it recently. It was pretty good. But she's so into that movie, and her boyfriend is decided that he was okay. You know, he was like, all right, I'll go with you, because she really wanted to go to see Frozen on ice, like the skating performance of the movie. And she's like, she was so excited, and she was like, I want you to come. And he was like, okay, sure, you know. And that is so not, I'm sure, his favorite thing. He was not like looking forward to Frozen on ice, but because that thing gives her such extreme joy, he was willing to do it. And it wasn't even going to be painful. It was just going to be entertaining and funny for him, I'm sure. I found that story to be super, super funny. So, I mean, to me, he sounds like a guy who is really supportive of things that make you super happy, little quirks you have, and then on an even deeper level, things that you want to do in your life, even if it's a hard thing. Jobs you want to have, or the way you want to start your own business, even though that's scary for both of you, supporting you and in your creative ideas about starting your business. One of my best friend's husband, when she was good thinking about starting her business, he was fan number one. He was like, you should do it. It's fantastic. It's a great idea. You can do it. And that was kind of the last straw as far as her thinking, hey, I can do it. I'm breaking down the barrier between me as an employee and me as employer and business owner. And she did it, and she's super successful, and it's fantastic. But she probably wouldn't have gotten there as quickly or at all if the person she was dating at the time, who she later married, wasn't so gung-ho about it. He was so gung-ho. He was so supportive of her that it didn't give her any doubts about her ability anymore, because she just needed the one person she loved the most to say, you can do it. I believe in you. And that is such an ideal situation, and that is so something that everybody needs and deserves in their own relationships. Because without that, it's not even being opposite, just not being supportive, like not saying, you go do it, you're so awesome, you go girl, do it. It's being actively unsupportive and kind of undermining of what you believe your true value in life is, about what you have to offer the world, if he's not there championing your ideas. Now, he can be critical of them, and he can ask questions, and he can say, okay, well, what's the money situation, and what are your ideas, and let's see your business plan, let's look at it and think about it. But that's practical. It's okay for him to show up and want to be practical. But he also needs to be so excited about your idea, or whatever it is in your life that is special to you. He needs to be balls to the wall, on board with you about the big, big things that matter to you. And that is so essential to feeling supported, to feeling empowered, and to feeling that he values you and loves you for who you truly are, and all of your new creative ideas and all of your even potential huge mistakes. What if the decision you make is a huge mistake? That's not going to matter as much as the fact that he supported you the whole time and was on board with you the whole time. Because as a team, you can pick up the pieces. But if you're not going into that as a team, if he's not as supportive as he should be, it's going to be really hard to still be a team that is very effectively picking up the pieces and starting over. Also, a big thing to think about is, does he admire and respect you? And most people in relationships think, yes, of course. I mean, he's with me. We're together. But you have to think a little bit deeper than that. Does he admire and respect your choices? This has to do with being supportive. Does he look at you sometimes in awe about what you've done and your ability? Does he think, man, that's a great thing you did. That's fantastic. Is he it's hard to be constantly blown away at a certain point in your life, but is he generally blown away by you? He should be. because you're fantastic and he should be blown away. And then another thing here is, do you admire and respect him? Even if you didn't love him, think about it. Say, okay, if I didn't love this person, because with love comes so many added emotions and allowances for mistakes they've made and character flaws and behaviors you think are bizarre and not cool, but they do it anyway. So think about it. If I didn't love this person and I just got to know him for a little while, or from the outside looking in, I saw things he did and said and who he was just without loving him, would I still admire and respect this person? The answer has to be yes. Otherwise, you definitely don't want to make a partnership with someone who is questionable in this area. I can think of so many ways that I admire and respect Jason, independent of me. I admire his ability to be so straightforward and analytical and to the point. I admire his ability to stand up for himself in a way that I can do sometimes, but I just don't do it in the same way he does it. He does it, and he just cuts through all the bullshit, and he just solves the problem, and I admire it. I think it's so fantastic, and I just can't understand it, because I don't think of things that way. I think I always try to approach things a little bit nicer. And he doesn't approach things in a mean way. He just approaches it in such a matter-of-fact way that you just can't argue. You think, of course that's the way it is. I admire that. I respect how much he cares for his family and the kind of loyal friend and person he is. He has plenty of friends that he doesn't see very much, because when he moved up here from Florida, he just doesn't get to see them very much. And, you know, I feel like the way a lot of boys are, they don't really talk to each other if they're not around each other sometimes. And his friends came to visit for our wedding, and he hadn't seen some of them since I had met him, so for years. And they just picked up as though they were old friends, of course, the way friends can do. But just seeing him with them and hearing them have conversations and talking about the extreme allegiance that they have to each other, whether they've seen each other or not, and the alliance and the care that they have, that no matter what is going on in each other's lives, they're there for each other. They'll help each other out no matter what. And I admire that. I think that's wonderful and amazing and special. And particularly special, I feel like, because I don't always think of men as having a relationship like that as much as women. I feel like women's friendships can often stand the test of time really well. The changes in life, marriage and babies and all sorts of things. And that you could just call up your old girlfriend from 10 years ago and you say, hey, and you just pick up where you left off. But I hadn't known men's relationships to do that as much, because my dad never had those kind of relationships in the same way that Jason does. And I just feel really proud that Jason has them, and really glad, because I just know that it's a fantastic role model for any children we have, any sons especially, that we have, that see their dad's understanding of relationships as eternal and special and something that you give a whole lot to protect. I admire him so much for that. And I admire his patience, which I have a bit of, but not in the same way that he has. And he's particularly patient with women who are angry and upset, like me, which I'm not usually, but when I do get angry and upset, he just is very calm about it. He's like, you know, we'll solve it, you know, this and this and this. And I admire his work ethic. He's a really hard worker, and he doesn't complain, and he doesn't give up. And he has smart, creative ideas, and he's fantastic at saving time and energy and thinking of these new ways to do things that I don't necessarily think of that really save time and energy and effort. There's just so many things about Jason that I admire and that I respect. And you need to be able to think, what are these things that I admire and respect about the person that I love? Hopefully you can think of a lot off the top of your head. If you can't, that doesn't mean you don't admire and respect him. That just means you need to start thinking about it. And very likely reminding him of these things that you care about. Because if you've forgotten what you admire and respect, it's very likely that he's forgotten that you care about those things about him, and that you notice, and that it matters. And the last big thing that I want to talk about today, that you really need to think about when you're choosing your life partner, the one you really want to be with, you really need to think about who he is right now. That's who you need to pick. You need to pick who he is right now. Not who he might be later. Not like, oh, well, if only this changes, everything will work out. You can't go into it like that because you have no guarantee that it will change. And for you to begin this long journey of hopefully loving someone forever and being in a life partnership where you build a life together, for you to begin that journey, you can't begin it on shaky ground. You have to begin it in a space that's already safe, where you already believe in who he is. And with that comes accepting the things that he does that might never change. Like, I'm so much better now at accepting the fact that there's a chance Jason might not ever do more chores than he does now, which isn't half of, you know, the inside chores. And that would be my dream, is that he would do half of all of the house chores. But I'm beginning to accept that that is very possibly never going to happen. But that doesn't change the way I feel about him. And I need to let go of being worried about if the change occurs. I can still hope for it, but I have to let go of being worried about if it'll happen or not, because that puts tension in me and it puts tension in the relationship. If I'm constantly on the lookout about that, it adds tension for sure. But you really need to love him for who he is now and not who you think he's going to be. And this was the biggest thing that I ever, ever, ever learned being in relationships. The biggest lesson that I ever learned, and if I had one thing that I wanted to share, this would be it, is that you cannot hedge your bets on him changing. You can't. Maybe he will. Maybe he will. But you cannot hedge your bets on him changing. You have to be okay with who he is now. And if you're not, then you need to reassess who it is that you love right now. You need to assess why it is that you love him. And you need to assess, is he the right partner for you? And that's a really hard thing to ask yourself in the middle of a relationship that you think you picked the right person. But you owe it to yourself. And you owe it to the rest of your life to know for sure that the person you've chosen, and who's chosen you, is really the person that you can be the best partner with and that could be the best partner for you. Because like I said, he might not ever change. So if you can look and see about, you know, what things about him annoy you and what things about him are actually like things that make you fear for the future of your relationship. Okay, things that are annoying, you can overlook those. That's life. Everybody's annoying. I know I annoy Jason. In some ways I know how I annoy him, in other ways I don't know how I annoy him. But I'm sure I do in other ways, and he hasn't told me about it, and I'm glad. He can have that secret about why I'm annoying, as long as he knows that I might just always be that way. Just like certain things about him, I know that he might just always be that way. And that's okay, and that's great, and that's actually what makes the whole relationship worth it, because he is himself, he's a unique person that I don't want to change. And that comes in with the respect thing a little bit too, is if there are these things, all these things about him that you wish would change, ask yourself, how much do I really respect him then? If he's only the best partner for me if I get to tweak these things. And right now you're almost just dating a lesser version of him that you know will break out. You know the other version of him that you see waiting inside will emerge. No, you don't know that. You cannot say that. Because first of all, it might never happen. Second of all, that's going to cause you to be resentful, and the relationship was built on an idea of who you thought he was and not who he really was. And third of all, that's a disrespect to him as a person in some form, thinking these things should be changed, and this too. Why not pick someone that you can just love the way they are? Or just get used to it and love him the way he is. And if you can't settle for that, if I'm saying this and you're thinking, oh, well, I can't, this is going to have to change, or I just can't deal with it, then you need to think about, is he the right one for you? Is he the life partner for you? And these questions are super scary and super hard. Everybody has had to ask themselves these questions. Sometimes people avoid asking themselves these questions for extended periods of time because It's scary to change everything that maybe isn't quite right, but you thought was. It's scary. But a life partner is a life partner. If you're picking a life partner, keep in mind that he's going to be around, hopefully, for life. So you have to think of all the cycles of who he is as a person and think about, hey, what's he going to be like as an older man or as a father or all the, or as a business partner? Maybe you're going to start a business together too. As a roommate, because you'll live with him most likely. So you have to think of all those things separate but connected to also loving him. It's a tall order to think about, but it's worth it, and it's so much more worth it because it requires you to be introspective and think of who you are and what you want, which is an amazing, special, awesome thing to do. And it's hard, but it always turns out to be the best stuff ever happens after it, because you start to open doors for yourself you didn't know were there, or you didn't know you would shut, but they're there. And priorities really get in line quickly. You don't even have to try to put them in line. You just start thinking about the hard questions, and they line up, and things work out. So if you get stuck or you get freaked out, just keep in mind that the universe always works itself out. The universe always works itself out. Things always happen the way they're supposed to happen. And I don't know what everybody's beliefs are about why that is, but I believe it's because the universe has a very specific reason for everything that happens. We're all an amazing product of nature and the universe, and we might not know what will happen, but it all is part of a fantastic, wonderful experience, and it's all worth it. So as you think about picking the partner for that's best for you and thinking about what you want and what you need, just remember that. Things are hard. Things are scary. But it always works out. Thank you so much for listening today. I love talking to you guys. I'm Emma. You can always email me at emma@owomanpodcast.com so that you can give me some feedback or you can ask questions. I would love to answer questions. Or you can request a topic for a show. I would love to do that too. So please email me there. Or you can also post a comment on owomanpodcast.com. On any page or anything. You can post it wherever you want, whatever works the best for you. And keep in mind, pretty soon, Facebook will be active. We'll be at O Woman Podcast. So that'll be pretty easy to search. It just won't have an exclamation point in it. So O Woman Podcast. And I cannot wait to talk to you soon. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.